Thank you, Mitch. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you are not already there, to Romans chapter 1, as we continue in our series through this magnificent book. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, one, two, three, go, I want you to speak loudly your last name. Okay? Your last name. One, two, three, go. Wadsworth. Okay, you heard your own name? You heard yourself say your own name? Now, if tomorrow morning, Monday morning, that word was followed in the newspapers by a headline, what would you want it to say? What would the name recognition that you would desire to have with your last name that would be known here in Fertile, Grand Forks, Fargo Forum, New York Post, Washington Times, or whatever. Washington Post, New York Times. Thank you very much. What would you want to have your name with your name recognition? Do you recognize these last names? Wasserman, Sater, Ensay. Does anybody recognize those last names? Probably not. Allison Wasserman is a 13-year-old, she's a little older now, who raised by herself over $300,000 for cancer research once she found out that her father, Craig, had a malignant brain tumor. She took it upon herself, and she donated that money to the cancer research, Allison Wasserman. Ben Sater, when he was 3 years old, he had a surgery on his hand for trigger fingers, and then a little later at a clinic called Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children, and they operate for free. And as a three-year-old, he committed himself to raising $1 million for that hospital. A couple years ago, he turned 18. And he gave them a check for $1,018,000. Golf charities. Never thought he could do it, but he did. What about Eric Ensay? Eric Ensay is a middle school teacher in Seattle. Eric read about some slavery that was going on in India, financial slavery. And he enjoined his junior high classes to raise money to send to the Indian slave workers so that they could pay off their debt and become free. Those are noble things, aren't they? I mean, all have to do with money, but they're noble things. How about these last names? Do you recognize these last names? Dahmer, as in Jeffrey. Lewinsky, as in Monica. Booth, as in James Wilkes. Chapman, as in Mark David. And how about the House of Representatives Democrat in New York? Anybody recognize those names? Do you recognize those names? Yeah, probably. So I'll ask it again. What would you want your name recognition to be, to have? And then by way of scripture, if it were God's name on the newspaper, what would he want his name recognition to be? Well, I believe that from this text that we've read, that God desires his gospel to be associated with his name and to have it made known. God desires his gospel to be made known. And as scripture was read, As we come to the end of the introduction, before God launches into the purpose and the motivation and the argument, if you will, the discussion, the point that he's making, he lets us know that his desire is for his gospel to be made known, and that we as people should respond by praying for people to make it known. If you're in your Bibles and you look, you will notice in this first chapter, at least up to verse 15, a number of words that are associated with speaking. A number of things about proclamation. Verse 4, it was declared. Who was declared? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with power. Verse 9, for God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness. And verse 15, so for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And in the context of this paragraph, Paul is praying for them. He starts out with what? First, I thank my God. What is it called when you talk to God? When you give him thanks? Thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you. What is that? That's the table blessing. That's prayer. Whenever we talk to God, we're praying to him. However we're talking to him, it is a matter of prayer. And you and I ought to pray for people to make it known. But take a look. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed, there's another one, throughout the whole world. That's an amazing thing to consider. And yes, I do believe that Paul is being a little hyperbolic, a little exaggeration for the sake of emphasis. But the world was much, much smaller then. And it is quite possible that the church in Rome, the center of the Roman Empire, would be known throughout the entire empire. It is reasonable that he might not be exaggerating too much. But that's what the church is being known for. Their faith in God. Not that they have a good worship team. Not that they have a wonderful building. Not that they serve the poor or have done so many good things in the world. Their faith in God is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. And that gives Paul reason to be thankful. And you will notice who he thanks. He doesn't say, thank you for your faith. He says, I thank God for your faith. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness. Imagine having God as your witness. So help me God. Not that way. But you ask God and he will tell you and show you how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul remembers the Roman church and he prays for them. He makes mention of them to God when he prays. For those of you who are here this morning and participated or were at Vacation Bible School, you remember our daily little tagline thingy that you were supposed to respond to when you heard it? God gives us good gifts. What were you supposed to say? Thank you, God. Right? God listens to you. Thank you, God. That's prayer. I mean, at VBS, the kids were responding on cue to something they were supposed to do, but they were praying and they were thanking God. Back at the University of Buffalo, I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ as a ministry, and one of the things that they did was they were very aggressive about what we called initiative evangelism. Cold turkey. You walked up to somebody with the four spiritual laws, and you introduced yourself, and you always went out two by two. And you asked if you could sit down, and if they said no, you moved on. If they said yes, you sat down and you shared the gospel. It was kind of cold turkey. But we were trained that one person presented the gospel. Take a wild guess what the second person was doing. Praying. Always praying. And if they thought of something, they could also say something, during the presentation, or maybe the individual who we were witnessing to would ask, well, what about you or something? But they were to pray. Pray for people to make it known, because God desires for his gospel to be made known. How? How is it that you and I mean, yes, we know how to pray, but where the rubber meets the road for us in application is that you and I ought to work on our worldwide reputation. Worldwide reputation. And if we are working on it, we should be sure it's for the gospel that we're known. It should be for the gospel that our reputation is built. There are other things, other good things that we may be known for. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be known for those things. But if that's all we're known for, we are seriously missing the mark. Possible other things. Church. What kind of church are we? Are we known to be? Well, does that really matter? If it's for the gospel? If we're known for preaching the gospel? If that's our reputation? If they hear about us in Twin Valley or in Felton or in Grand Forks or wherever, is it because of the new structure? Is it because of the fact that... Here's a blessing. It's one of the greatest things that I ever hear in talking with people, especially visitors and new people to our congregation that have stayed. And they say, I stayed because I feel at home. That is an incredible compliment. I am so blessed that people feel family when they come to church, when they feel loved, and when they can express that love to one another in fellowship and in other ways. But if that's all we're known for, being the friendly church and not the church that preaches the gospel, that's a major oofta. That's a serious problem. We need to work on our worldwide reputation. There are some other things that are good. Causes, political, cultural, social, medical, fundraisers, this. Very good things. But if that's all we're known for, and then there's some not so good things that we might be known for. Things that maybe not as a church, but as individuals. If people know that you're a believer and you're out for fame and fortune, to make a buck, to serve yourself in the pleasures of this world, if that's what people know you as, that's a serious problem. It's a problem of sin for which Christ died. And then what is the content of Paul's prayer? It works its way out in us. I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. It is a strong desire of Paul to be with those Roman believers that he has never been to their church, probably doesn't know most of them, for a particular purpose, which we'll talk about in a minute, but he prays for the will of God to be done. I don't want you to be ignorant, beloved. I wanted to come. I've tried to come, but have been prevented so far. Been too busy. Got lots of stuff going on. But I'm coming now if it's by the will of God. Maybe God will allow this at this time. The content of our prayer as followers of Christ should always be according to the will of God. No matter what it is, no matter how strong of a desire it is that we have for whatever it is, we must submit to God's will because he is sovereign. He is in control. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. God never drops the ball. No matter what it is, whether it's an extreme blessing or an extreme hardship in life, whether it's a fatal illness or the coming of life by way of a child. We should submit to the will of God because he alone is worthy. He alone is God. We should submit to the will of God because it is His gospel, not ours, that is being proclaimed. We should submit to the will of God in our prayers because we are His children. Moms and dads, you get this. You understand how it is that you want your children to behave and operate and be because you are their parents and they are the children. You are the authority in their lives given by God, and God is the authority in our lives because He is our Father. We are His children. So one, we should pray for others to make it known. And then secondly, we should invest in others, in one another, for the purpose of making it known. God desires that He be known for His gospel. You and I invest in one another for the purpose of making it known. For I long to see you, so that I might impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentile. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Did you see the mutual benefit of Paul's coming to them? That they might be established in their faith, that he might be encouraged in his faith as they trade, as they interact with one another, as they relate to one another, as he gives and they give, as he receives and they receive from him, that they might be established. It's mutual. It's reciprocal. They have the same faith, yours and mine, and yet they have distinct gifts, differing gifts, for the mutual edification of one of another, of encouragement. One of his gifts is the preaching of the gospel. Why would he preach the gospel to believers? Because the gospel is what he has been called to, set apart for, as an apostle. Right? Verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, set apart for the gospel of God. That's what he does. He operates in his giftedness. And do the believers at Rome need to be saved again? No. But will there be unbelievers in the gathering? Yeah, most likely. Will he be preaching the gospel to others around? If you know Paul, absolutely. And so he desires to have that kind of fruit to fulfill the ministry God has given him in Rome. And so we would assume and understand that what he's talking about is the gospel as the evangel, the good news, which he will proclaim. But is that all the gospel is? No. No, beloved, it isn't. And it's one of those phrases, to preach the gospel, as an extension of his whole ministry. Paul did more than just evangelize. Paul discipled people in the places where he stayed, in Ephesus. He sent Timothy there. His traveling companions, Luke and Timothy and Titus and others, he invested in them, in one another, to make the gospel known. He was there to plant churches. He would stay 3, 4, 7, 8 years to see a church built and established, and then he would move on. That was the whole gospel that he preached. Salvation isn't the end of the story, beloved. It's the very beginning. And that's what he wants to preach, even to them who are in Rome, to Greeks and barbarians, to wise and to fools. So, beloved, I would encourage you to use your gifting, whatever it is, but always, always, always for other people. Your gifting was not given to you for your encouragement, and my gifting was not given to me for my encouragement. That's called selfishness, and that's a sin. And so maybe it's playing, amen? or singing, amen, or serving, amen, or vacuuming. There are plenty of opportunities within this congregation to use your giftedness. Maybe you're a good baker. You know, we have refreshments every Sunday. Bake on. It's rhubarb season. But that's serious. That's your gifting. Use it. Amen. Use it. Yeah, use it. Maybe you have the gift of service. Sign up to be a host family. Sign up to be on the service groups. Maybe it is that you've been given the gift of generosity and you understand the principles of giving. That bucket goes around every week. Use your gift. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. After church, I was talking to somebody this week, and one of the blessings is to see how long it takes us to get out of this place. I mean, I know people have family things to do, but generally, we hang out here. We hang out here sometimes longer than the actual worship service. And so when people come to me, this is a joke, I'm letting you know this is a joke. When people come to me and tell me I preach too long, and then they're back there hanging out for longer than I preach, it's a wash. I don't listen. That's quite all right. Use your gifting for others. That's why God has given it to you. You and I mutually have been gifted to encourage one another, to make it known. And then, beloved, preach the gospel. Tell someone about the love of God. Tell someone about their need. Don't be afraid, for we are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The very next verse. Tell someone. Follow through. Encourage someone, disciple someone. Maybe something that you have found helpful in your walk of faith. Maybe it's a reading plan. Maybe it's a Sabbath rest. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is that God has done in your life to encourage you. But tell that story to someone. That's the vital nature of our sharing time. We want that to happen. Pass it on. So I'll ask again. What is it that you want your worldwide reputation to be? If your name was in the paper tomorrow, would it be for tweeting? Or would it be for the faith that you have in Christ? Sunday school answer. But seriously consider the prayers of Paul, the faith of the Romans, and their encouragement. Seriously consider those things as we prepare for communion this morning. I would call those who are serving forward, please.